Good evening. Today we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday. The second Sunday of Easter has been, since the pontificate of John Paul II, has been designated Divine Mercy Sunday. And this is something that came through a revelation to St. Faustina and the whole image of Divine Mercy that we have in our chapel. And it's just a really, really beautiful devotion that the church has celebrated now for more than two decades. I think it's right about the year 2000 is whenever this devotion was popularized and designated on this day. I can't help but when we approach Divine Mercy Sunday, I go back to 8 years ago when I was a deacon here. I was able to go to World Youth Day. World Youth Day was held in Krakow, Poland. It was an amazing trip. But just I remember some things from that trip that were just like very, very profound, and I think can maybe give us a little bit of a hint into an image for tonight. When we went, I remember we did, I think it was like 7 or 8 days in Poland, and then we went to Rome for like 3 or 4 days. So it was like a two-week trip in Europe. It was really, really beautiful. During the course of that trip, we went to a lot of very, very beautiful places, and we visited some not-so-beautiful places just in the history of the world. I remember when we went to Poland, we spent an afternoon touring Auschwitz, the concentration camp. I remember walking onto the grounds in Auschwitz. We walk in, we go through the gate, like the whole thing that says work will make you free and all this stuff. But I just remember that they told us when we walked in that some nearly 3 million people died at this camp during the World War II. And I just remember when we walked onto the grounds, you could almost feel the weight of the place. Like there was like a cloud over the place. Like you might have been joking around or something or talking on the bus, but like the moment you got out the bus and the moment you stepped foot on this hallowed ground, like it was just, there was something different about it. And you just kind of, it was very, very sobering, very, very quiet. So I remember that was one place that we had visited. After we went through the whole World Youth Day thing and all the festivities, when we got into Rome, we went and visited a few different places. And one of the places that we visited was the Circus Maximus. It's this massive, just big lot, basically, on the side of the road. It's under like the ruins of the old emperor's castle or old emperor's palace in the pagan area of Rome. And the Circus Maximus, if you know your Roman history, that was the place where Christians were martyred. It was this big field, and for example, Nero, the Emperor Nero, used to use Christians as basically torches. So he would crucify them because they wanted to be like Jesus. Great, I'm going to make that happen. He would crucify them and set the bodies on fire, and he would use that as basically torches so he could have chariot races at night. So people were killed on this hallowed ground. Same kind of thing. I remember standing there and just thinking, if it was 2,000 years ago, this is not what, I would not be standing here as comfortably. And then a couple of days later, we were in the Colosseum. And if you know anything about the Colosseum, it's an engineering feat, but it's where the people showed up to just watch blood for sport, right? So in the course of 2 weeks, we visited some of the biggest death factories in the history of humankind. In the history of at least the Western world, right? And I remember sitting there just like reflecting back on the trip and thinking of like the places that we went and the amount of death and blood that had been spilled in these different places. And I remember, especially when I got back from this trip, just thinking, wow, as dark as those places were, they were just the background for the light of some of the saints that we encountered while we were in these places. For example, when we were at Auschwitz, not only were we walking around and seeing like the remains of what was the gas chambers and what were the barracks and what were all these places, but as we passed one of the housing units, I remember looking over and they had some flags next to a basement window, and that was the starvation chamber where Maximilian Kolbe was killed, when he volunteered to take the place of another man. And he was thrown in a starvation chamber, and that they had to kill him because he wouldn't die by natural causes. The background of Auschwitz, the background of the darkness, just made the light of Maximilian Kolbe shine a little bit brighter. I remember when we were able to go to, while we were in Rome, well, we stop at the Circus Maximus, we go to the Colosseum, but also we had a chance to celebrate Mass on where John Paul II was buried. in the altar that he was buried on. I remember it was me, Father Andre, I was the deacon, me, Father Andre, and then Deacon Bryce. Now, Father Bryce, the three of us were celebrating Mass that day, and I remember when we kissed the altar, we just kind of laid there for a little while. We were like, they're going to have to pry us off of this. Like, it was just beautiful. But the darkness of what was Rome just made the light shine brighter of a saint like a John Paul II or one of the other many saints that were buried in St. Peter's and other churches around. We also had a chance, and this is where Divine Mercy comes in, we had a chance to go and see Faustina. We went to the convent where she entered. We went to the church that she entered when she had her moment, her initial conversion, where she was going to follow Jesus and she walked into Warsaw. We also were able to go to the convent where she died and where she's laid out. Not only is she laid out in an altar, right, buried, but there's also the original image of Divine Mercy that she had commissioned and that represented Jesus speaking to her. Same kind of image that we have where you have the heart open, two lights shining, wounds, the whole nine. And I just remember, like, when I was praying there, that, like, that image was so telling of the darkness in the background and the light in the foreground. The darkness of all these places and the light of the saints, the darkness of the image of the darkness of the background and the light of Christ, the light of his heart shining out. And I think that image of darkness and light is a really, really beautiful image, and I think it's an apt image for us today as we enter into this feast of Divine Mercy. Especially with the reading that we have, with the gospel that we have. Because every year we read the story of Thomas on Divine Mercy Sunday. It's the second Sunday, it's always the one that we read. And while we're going to get to Thomas in a second, I want to just take a moment and reflect on the other apostles, because I find they get off the hook a lot this week. But the other apostles, if we think about this, right? Like, so what's going on in the scripture today? These other apostles, they find themselves, they are locked away for fear of the Jews. And Jesus comes to them. They are locked. They're locked up. They're hiding. They're afraid, right? They just watched their rabbi, their friend, their leader, the person that they've been walking with, the person that brought them all together, they just watched him be murdered and killed. And they don't want the same to happen to them. So what they do, they hide. They lock themselves away. They lock themselves in this room. And they just say, we're going to do some self-preservation for a little while. We're just going to hide. Their fear is taking them over right now in today's gospel. I have to believe for all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, there's some kind of darkness that can happen in our life, and we have to allow the Lord, with his light, to come into it, right? The same way that the image, the same way that these different places, like all of these things, like there's darkness in our world, and we need to allow the light in. There's darkness in our own hearts, we need to allow the light in. And today, our gospel, the apostles find themselves in darkness, in their fear, hiding behind a locked door. It's a prison that they have embraced, and they decided to make their own. And Jesus shows up. Now, we would think that that sounds like a really amazing thing, and that might be a really, really awesome thing, like, oh, wow, the Lord comes into their fear and meets them. But if we're honest, if we really know what's going on, right, 90%, 9 out of these 10 men that are in this upper room, that are hiding, that are locked away, 9 of these 10 bailed on Jesus at his biggest moment. They abandoned Jesus at their biggest moment. John's the only one, the little goody two shoes, the youngest one. You got Mary and all that stuff. But the other 9 are sitting there, and I got to imagine that they had to be a little bit freaked out when Jesus showed up. Maybe a little bit anxious. I know there are times in my life that, like, I've said something stupid or I've done something stupid. I know it's a shock, but, like, I've said something stupid with a friend or, like, I've done something stupid or, like, there's been times that I have wronged other people and I know it's my fault and I wear that as my fault and I don't want to own up to it. I don't want to go and, like, apologize or anything like that. And, like, I know there are times that there's a tension between me and a friend or me and a coworker or me and somebody else. And what happens? Me and that person end up in the same place at the same time. And then it's just, like, this, like, awkward, like, anxiety kind of spikes. I know I'm probably the only one that has ever happened, something like that, right? Like, it's really funny if, like, an ex-girlfriend or an ex-boyfriend shows up at a place, and you're like, oh, my God, and all of a sudden, everybody got to go to the bathroom. But anyway, I just think of, like, these kind of situations where, like, you might have, like, some anxiety pop up because there's issues that are not settled because there's another person that's there. Just imagine how the apostles are feeling with Jesus. They know what they did. Peter knows that he denied him. Peter's still wearing the guilt of denying him. And Peter is locked away for fear of the Jews, worried about this, and Jesus walks through a freaking door to come and meet them. Just imagine how freaked out and scared they were of what he might say. Just imagine the anxiety and fear that they were experiencing at that moment. And Jesus' response to them is, peace be with you. You can almost hear the relief in their voice because then he says it again, peace be with you. The darkness of their fear, the darkness of their anxiety is not too much for the Lord. Is not too much for Christ. He leans in and still wants to brighten it. In fact, it becomes the background to the grace that takes place, to the miracle that takes place. Now we get to Thomas. Because Thomas is the apostle that's not there, right? 10 of them are there, 90% of them bailed on them, all that stuff. But then, like, Thomas is the one that's not there. The 12th one, Judas, he's already gone, right? So, like, Thomas is the one that's not there, and whenever he comes back and everything has already taken place, he comes back and they all look at him and say, we've seen the Lord. Like, wow, he was here, and he showed up, and he walked through the wall, and Thomas looks at him, and I can only imagine, like, I know Thomas a lot of times gets, like, this bad rap, that we have to kind of, I know it's really easy for us to be like, oh, doubting Thomas, right? I imagine that every year when this reading comes up, when divine mercy comes up, that all the apostles are probably in heaven ragging on each other and they're all looking at Thomas like, hey, the whole church is going to be laughing at you because you doubted, remember? But if we're honest with ourselves, think about this. If Thomas watched his rabbi, watched his leader, watched his friend die on a cross, Thomas got to be mourning. And the last thing he wants to hear is we've seen him and he's alive. His grief. I don't know about him, but I would be sitting there thinking, why don't y'all leave me alone? I'm getting over the fact that we just watched him die. But his grief and his doubt, too much for him to believe what they're telling him. In fact, you know what? If you're gonna say that, fine. The only way I'll believe it is I can put my finger in his hand and I can put my hand into his side, then I'll believe. And a week later, another locked door, hiding again, Jesus approaches him and calls him on it. Peace be with you. Meeting him in his doubt, in his grief. Peace be with you. Here's my hand. Here's my side. The interesting thing is that the grief that Thomas is feeling, or the doubt that Thomas is feeling, is not too much for Christ. I think as we come to Mass today, as we reflect on this gift of God's mercy, we recognize that God's mercy, God himself, Jesus Christ, is not afraid of the darkness that we might be dealing with. Jesus Christ is not afraid of our imperfections. Jesus Christ is not afraid of our doubt. He's not afraid of our grief. He's not afraid of our betrayal. He's not afraid of our imperfections. He's not afraid of the darkness and the junk that we have tucked away, hidden away, that we don't want let anybody to know about. In fact, he wants to enter into it. And the first words out of his mouth when he's faced with it is, "Peace be with you." And I know my mom, I love her to death, but like anytime we had people that came over when I was a kid, she would go into like crazy clean mode, right? Any place that the people might show up, she would clean, like any kind of thing. Like we were like tucking stuff away in closets and stuff just to make sure that rooms were clean and the house was clean, and any space that people might walk into had to be like spick and span and perfect and everything was right, right? Like in the bathroom, you had to put the nice guest towels out because apparently these people, when they come visit, are going to take a shower. I don't know. But like it was all the time. Like any space that might be touched, might be seen, had to be clean and perfect and great. And I think like that same kind of neurotic kind of way of approaching the world is the same way that we feel like we have to live sometimes, especially with things like social media, right? Like we have to live a perfect life. We have to show a perfect life, because if we screw up, it lives on forever. But with the Lord, we don't have to. Like we might have in our own life like junk rooms that we've just kind of tucked away bad memories or tucked away bad moments. We might just have places that like we have mistakes or sins or struggles that we just continue to just hide in this one closet, in this one room, and nobody goes in there. Nobody has to see it because it's fine. When in reality, God just wants to say, "Let me in. Let me into the little dark corners, into the imperfections, and let me show you power of my mercy." All that darkness becomes a background to the power and glory of God's mercy when we allow him to enter. Today, whatever spot we might have in our hearts, in our lives, that we just continue to tuck away, continue to hide, may today, as we come to Mass, that we allow the power of God's mercy to touch us there, where we need it most. The places that we don't let see the light of day. And we're damn sure not allowed anybody else to touch. But may today, as we come to Mass, we can let the Lord in. That we can allow the Lord to bring his light. There's a quote that I think is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, but every quote is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi when people don't know who actually said it. But I think it's him that said, "All the darkness in the world cannot overcome the light of a single candle." Darkness is nothing. It flees. It's afraid of. It runs away from the smallest of lights. Today, as we come to this Mass, maybe we allow the light of Christ. The same way that at Easter Vigil, we had a dark church and the light of Christ came in and just overcomes the darkness, right? In the same way, may we allow the light of Christ to work in our life and just to enter into those dark corners, that the Lord could be the one to reveal his mercy, his goodness, his love, where we need it most. May today the darkness of our background, of our past, of our struggles, of our sin, just become a background to the glory of God's mercy.